Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Mission Chunya podcast. Well, wherever you are in the world at this point in time, that is April 2020, stay safe, stay indoors, and follow the recommendations of your local government agencies. The COVID-19 is the biggest crisis of our lifetime, and I'm sure with our collective efforts and basic courtesies, we can definitely win this over. Again, I'm taking this opportunity to thank all the frontline workers, including the doctors, medical practitioners, and all the supporting services for their relentless pursuit. But as always, there are interesting stories from around the world, stories that will make you feel good on any given day. And on this episode, you'll hear one such story. This week's theme is water. The Sustainable Development Goals, or the SDGs, is one of the focus areas as we transition to a zero carbon economy. Access to clean water is a key SDG. During these times when the resources and access to it are limited, we always tend to get a little judicious. No matter which country you live in, you always try to conserve and preserve the resources that you have. The company that I am featuring today offers purified water on a pay-as-you-use model. A model that has ensured like water wastage has come down after people adopted this solution. So let's dive into this week's episode featuring Vikram and his company Osho Water. Hello Vikram, welcome to the Mission Shunya podcast.
Thank you.
So before I have a chat with Vikram and hear about his story on how we've got started with Osho Water, I also have a co-host on this podcast episode. I have Anirudh Gupta from the Sustainability Mafia. You probably remember Sustainability Mafia. I had an episode 13 to be precise. So Anirudh is from the Sustainability Mafia. So I'll ask him to give us a brief background about what he does in Sustainability Mafia. Anirudh?
Thank you, Girish. So with the Sustainability Mafia, we are organizing a consortium of sustainability leaders from around the country. And we believe that by organizing independent sustainability leaders, we can create a very effective movement to make sustainable solutions easily accessible, economical, and the default choice in the larger public. So we hope to do that with leaders like Vikram, like Girish, and a host of others that we are bringing onto our community.
Thanks, Anirudh. It's actually good to have another person join as a co-host, because I'm sure as a listener, even you would probably feel a little monotonous with just me asking questions to the guest on the show. This is a change, and let's see how this progresses. So now on to Vikram. So Vikram, give us your story. How did you get started with Osho Water? What was your intrinsic motivation to do that?
Yeah, thank you, Girish and Anirudh. Thanks for getting me onto the call today. So I think there's a lot, the story behind how we started Osho Water is too large, but then I'll try to concise in few lines. What we saw that, you know, many of the today's disruptive innovators, you know, they had something in common. They had a willingness and they wanted to change the standard in the industry. They use technology as a drive changer, the platform to build not just new products, but then also deploy the technologies to address inefficiencies in the market. The technologies, you know, through which they could rethink business models and reconsider the way things have always been done. So starting from how the urban transport has been changed by Uber and similar companies, how grocery deliveries has been redefined by companies like BigBasket. We felt, you know, if there's something we can do in terms of in the water domain. So I sat with my family, with the seniors, discussed with a couple of friends of mine who have been working in the technology domain for a while, and then try to see, you know, if there's a way that we can invest in building the right technology to create more efficiency, to build a sustainable business, and above all, impact the well-being of a wider world. So with that as a motivation, you know, I had two choices back home. One was either get into real estate, which is affordable housing, or build some water technologies which can impact billions of lives. So I chose water to be my domain. It felt was like a natural fit for me. And then we started this about 3.5 years back. The vision what we had when we started kept gradually going up, with more and more support coming in from friends, families, and the industry at large. So where we saw the availability of drinking water, you know, continues to be a problem even till date. You know, assuring that it is safe, affordable is an additional challenge by itself. So with this big problem around us, we saw a huge opportunity to build a sustainable business. So being in the water business kind of gives me a personal satisfaction. You know, it fulfills my own fundamental need of that, how can be of help to every human life around me. So there were a lot of factors which we considered, you know, when it comes to why Osho, why the way we're doing it. So we looked into, as a background on, you know, how people consume drinking water, how do they fulfill their drinking water needs today, and what nudges them to kind of find, you know, either drink straight from the tap or to go and buy a water filter outside, or go stand outside a queue, probably to fill water from a water kiosk. And then looking into all this, we started considering how can we deploy IoT to kind of make this even more feasible, even more adoptable, even more intelligent. And with a long-term vision of, you know, how can we have a sustainable, intelligent, and also an affordable water purification solution.
That's a good story, Vikram. That's a good story to begin by understanding what was your motivation to get started with this. But before we go on to how your technology operates, what is the biggest challenge that anyone faces in urban centers, urban cities, in getting access to purified water? I mean, access to safe and purified water is one of the sustainable development goals. So what do you think is the biggest challenge in modern cities?
I think, see, in many countries, the quality of drinking water provided by the government is kind of compromised. And the citizens need to depend on water purification techniques or filtration techniques of Ghana. Of course, whether it is developed nations or developing nations or the backward nations, the challenge remains the same, that there is enough water around us, but is every drop safe enough to drink? We've looked at that the leakages in the pipeline, in the utility supply, which causes further contamination. And thankfully, people have realized over a period of the last 2-3 decades that drinking clean water is essential for them to maintain a good health as well. So with the factor in the health concern of individuals about themselves, their families, their kids, the whole idea that I should be drinking clean water and not so clean water or bad quality water has kind of led to people to depend on new water filtration techniques, which made them either move to either buy a water point of use water, or thankfully to a lot of NGOs and private CSR funds supporting drinking water projects. They have established this community drinking water stations, and there's still a lot of people who are still dependent or who still drink water straight from the tap. Of course, we don't say that all the tap water which comes into the home is bad, but more likely that we always recommend that there should be at least one simple stage of filtration to be done. And then looking into all this, our quite belief is that, you know, water quality is not a privilege, it's a human right. And that is where we kind of started our first thought.
That's a wonderful way to put it. I mean, water quality is a bare minimum requirement. In terms of how you do it, I mean, one thing that really catches anyone's attention when someone visits your website is the idea of pay-as-you-use model. Why did you choose to go this way? Did you choose to go this way just because there was a differentiator, or did you actually feel there is a better value proposition when someone takes a pay-as-you-use approach than the conventional water purification methods?
See, there were a few questions which we had, right? That, you know, we looked at the water purification industry or water purifier industry's penetration in the Indian market. And most of our primary research gave us insights that the number of households who are using water purifier inside the homes is less than 5% of India's population. And the number of people who are probably consuming water from water jars or standing outside a queue on a water kiosk was about 18-20% of the total population. And then when we looked into the whole approach that, you know, what are the customer needs, and what sort of jobs they need to do to get clean water for their home, for their family, you know, it involved us to figure out, you know, how can we design a right solution, a right channel to reach them, and the right way to maintain the customer relationship. And then water industry itself offers a tremendous opportunity. And we saw that if the whole world, if you see in the last 5 years, last 7 years, has been moving from owning products to consuming services. And by consuming services, everything became affordable for most of us. Whether it is traveling in a car from a location A to location B, or even flying in from, say, Delhi to Bangalore. Like, I can't afford to buy an aeroplane by myself. But then since I'm paying per seat, per trip on the flight, where everything is taken care by the airliners, starting from buying the aeroplane, maintaining it, having a pilot have a host inside the aircraft, and a hell lot of facilities all available on a pay-per-use model where I've just paid for the trip I have done. And so we felt that there's a larger bunch of population in India who still can't afford to buy a water purification unit for their home. They're probably going out, standing out in a queue, or they're still drinking in from an unsafe water source. So combining all these aspects, we felt that if we can increase their ability to purchase, like how, I know I always quote this example of sachet marketing, where a brand, Chic, a couple of years back, started selling shampoos in a small sachet. And suddenly you see a lot of people who couldn't buy a 500 ml or a 650 ml shampoo bottle could also start using shampoos at their home because it started coming in a 5 ml or a 10 ml pouch. So the affordability factor increased for people when the whole business model changed by the entrepreneurs or by the industry. So, and we saw that a lot of people were lining up outside those water kiosks because they were able to pay based on their consumptions. They were able to, there's no other charge what they have to pay besides just paying for every liter of water which they're filling in their cans. The investment was taken care of by somebody, the maintenance was taken care of by somebody. And we said, why can't we become that somebody and then redefine this whole that someone, you know, after 75 years of India's independence, we're still making someone from a home travel outside his home to fetch water for their home. Why can't we change it, bring, you know, they already have a water coming inside the home. If we can treat that right inside the home, they will have a fresh tasting water always inside, and probably they'll save that 1 hour of travel, waiting time on the queue or travel time or taking the trouble of going out. You know, where probably only women used to carry water back home. With this whole trend of water kiosk, even men started carrying water, of course, not on their head, but probably on their tooth.
Vikram, it's so refreshing to hear you actually say that fresh water access should be a basic human right, and rather than a privilege. Because we live in a world, or at least pre this entire pandemic, we lived in a world where the gourmetification of water, right, gourmet water, was becoming a very big thing. And it seemed like people are trying to package water in more and more fancy ways and move away from the basic human right that actually should be the label attached to freshwater access. And I feel like what you're doing is essentially decentralizing freshwater access, drinking water access, by bringing it into people's homes, which is a very, very fascinating movement, I would say. So can you throw some light on what the economics of your model are? And for a typical household, when they adopt your solution, what does it look like?
Okay, so every Osho water purifier is currently installed without taking any deposit from our customers. they install absolutely at a zero cost in their home. All we want is a plumbing line where incoming water is available and an electrical socket so that we can connect the machine to power up and get clean drinking water. Now, as a strategic decision, which is more of our business model, we expect the consumers only to pay us for every liter of water consumed by them and not for any maintenance, any replacement of membranes as and when it is needed. So, and every, since if you've seen post demonetization, I think few things have come in blessing for us that people started doing digital transactions without any fear. There's no fear for people to now share their credit card details or pay online. And suddenly the internet, became so affordable that if you were doing the same IoT, pre-demonetization or pre-geo telecom days, I don't think it would have been affordable for us to track every machine for its functioning or the water quality inside it. So with we paying the internet bills as well of the machine, all the customer has to do is just go to our portal or log into our app, buy the water credits online, and we charge just 1 rupee for every liter of water which is dispensed by the machine. Now, what we have achieved with all this is that we have been successful in bringing down the drinking cost for a lot of our users. For example, our machines installed in small and medium enterprises, like upcoming startups, where they were buying water cans where the quality of water was slightly unsure by them, but they were paying anywhere from 3 to 4 rupees a liter, of water for their offices, and that has just come down to 1 rupee flat. Apart from small and medium offices, households, right? And who were either dependent on a can or who were probably not able to buy a water purifier themselves, or the increasing cost of the annual maintenances, right? I mean, nobody knows what happens to your machine, what is the future cost you'll have to incur once it is out of warranty. Now, we've been able to save a lot of money from them as well. And few houses which we have seen, gives us that idea that we've helped them kind of make some savings for their home, with which they were able to buy probably more electronic gadgets for their home, or it helped them clear a small part of their EMIs which they were paying for, either for their education of their kids or the gadgets they bought for their home. And of course, in addition to all this, drinking good quality water ensured good health to them.
At this point, I would like to jump in and just for the benefit of listeners, just clarify that the demonetization that Vikram mentions was a phase in 2016 when the government intended that most of the transactions has to happen digitally. So, and after that, there was also emergence of 4G networks in India, and widespread adoption of 4G has enabled the entire network of IoT-based devices coming up and IoT-based services like water purification, like Osho Water coming up. So this has been a big boon. Vikram, now you did mention that your target customers are small households and small and medium scale industries. But in terms of the real technology difference between a normal purifier that anyone would typically use to compare to what is the technology behind your purifiers, is there any major change or is it the same kind of technology that's in place?
So the key success, for Osho has been using a progressive blend of IoT and the pay-per-use model which got enabled because of and our self-maintenance process. Of course, with our total disruption is a sum of intelligent blend of digital tools, interlinked sensors, online algorithms, and our user-friendly analytics, which helps us consumers make their own decisions on their drinking water habits or on their maintenances of the devices. What we did, of course, over the last 2-3 decades of large water purifier brands pushing particular technologies like reverse osmosis, ultrafiltration to the mindsets of consumers, we felt that having a new technology back on hand, we didn't want to experiment too much with the market because there were 3 things which we were trying to introduce at the same time. One was the whole pay-per-use model. The second was our self-maintenance process. And the third being the new water type. We wanted to take, say, at least 6 months to 12 months on as we were introducing every aspect of our technology to our customers. So the first year we spent more of introducing the pay-per-use model to users. And the second year, we spent more on educating them on how can they self-maintain their device, which helps us lower our maintenance costs as well. You know, it reduces our visits to their home, which means that we will be able to give them water at even more affordable prices. Now, with all of that, we also saw that fundamentally everybody was running water in their homes, especially the ones who are using water purification devices or the ones who are standing outside a queue in a water kiosk. Like, most of them are using reverse osmosis as a water tank. And certainly RO has its own advantages and disadvantages. The major disadvantage being that a lot of wastewater gets generated. Now, there was no solution until we kind of figured out that there's simple ways on how we can do it. And we figured out that really from the water quality test which we did initially, we saw that technically there was no need of running every drop of water coming into home through a reverse osmosis system. We were all forced to do it because there was no other alternative, which we all felt or which we were all thrown using those marketing campaigns by large companies. So we looked into this and then we found that there's a simple solution we can do it. And around the same time, we took an analogy from the growing mobile phone market. Do you use a phone, Anirudh and Girish, which has two SIMs inside, or it's only one SIM card?
I use one SIM.
I have the two SIM phone, but I use one SIM.
So but can you tell me, I mean, why? What was your motivation to buy a two SIM, or why do you think people use a two SIM phone?
I think it's just the Chinese smartphone market domination, and their basic model was a two SIM phone going forward.
Okay, so there are a couple of reasons why people have used two SIMs. One, to have a backup network available, say if one network goes down. So we looked into this and said, you know, why can't we take cue from the mobile phone industry and adopt that into water purification? So the way we have two SIMs on every phone or on these phones, we created two faucets on our machine. One faucet which will run water through all the stages, including reverse osmosis. And second, which will just bypass reverse osmosis and give you clean drinking water. And the whole analogy for us was that, you know, if the water is highly contaminated, and if it is not required to be running through a reverse osmosis, they can just do an ultrafiltration, simple way on fairly treating water and consuming it off. Now, what this helps them is they save a lot of water in terms of wastewater being zero from an ultrafiltration process. And they can add up, they don't have to use reverse osmosis for every water quality. How does a customer know that what is the water quality? We added sensors which could test quality in terms of total dissolved solids and display that information live for every incoming water drop to the users on the machine itself. So we have a screen which tells them what is their incoming quality, and user can choose either a process A or a process B depending on their incoming water quality. And we also saw that, you know, most of our Indian houses, we use a good amount of water inside our kitchens as well, considering that we all have that good habit of making food at home and eating. And a lot of times we also closely observed our user base, and we saw that, you know, they started using a reverse osmosis treated water for cooking vegetables, making rice, and so on and so forth. Whereas the oldest form of cleaning water before the advent of all these water purification devices was boiling water. We said when they're eventually boiling the water, they really don't have to treat that through an RO. They can just do a fair treatment using an ultrafiltration and use that water for cooking purposes. So we designed this machine in such a way that you can use one faucet for drinking and the other faucet for cooking. And you can use a cooking faucet for drinking as well if your input water quality is, say, below a 300 TDS. Now, if you've seen, last 1 year, the National Green Tribunal has been talking about banning RO in specific areas where the incoming water quality supplied by the water utility, you know, is below a particular TDS range. And you see and we see that the current water purifier industry is not even prepared, because either you can have an RO system or you can have a no RO system, but then your water quality changes at your home because not all homes have a 24/7 deep drinking supply. You have water coming in from your underground sources. And if you go out on the outskirts of Bangalore, most of the apartments in Bangalore also get water through these moving trucks, which are popularly called as water tankers. Now, water tanker quality always is always varies, and it is much worse than what comes from the utility. Now, when you have different quality water coming into your home pipeline supply, you can't afford to have two machines where you can switch from, say, one machine to the other. So, having the dual SIM card success seen in mobile phones, we adopted that and we said, you know, let's have a dual smart purification process where people can decide what is the treatment process they should be using within their home. And that enabled us, you know, to be much ahead of the NGT norms, where NGT talking about banning ROs today with having no other solution being proposed by them. We've been on the track since day one because of this little change in the whole game of water purifier industry.
That's really wonderful, Vikram. I think your basic idea has been heavily influenced by the mobile telephony networks, and one was the model pay as you use model, and then having dual SIM cards analogy to have two pipes and two different water purification methods. So one thing that clearly bogs my mind from time to time over this RO purification is that RO typically wastes a lot of water in purification process. I think for every liter, it will waste another liter of purified water. So is this true, and why does this happen? Is your solution a little better when in compared to what is generally wasted in typical ROs?
Okay, so in an RO, the wastage could be anywhere from double to about four times, depending on the quality of membrane a company is manufactured. Traditionally, I would give a very simple example. That, you know, if you have a glass full of water, let's say it having half filled with sand, of course you will get only half glass of water coming out from when you're filtering it, say using a paper cloth, using a cloth or a paper filter. This is fundamentally, we want users to understand that it is not that the reverse osmosis systems are purposely designed to waste a lot of water, but it's because of the incoming dust, incoming sediments, incoming sand particles, which are also there in the water, which needs to be cleaned. Now, having said that, reverse osmosis membranes are typically preferred for water quality which is too bad, which is say about 500 TDS, 500 ppm of total dissolved solids, or even more. Now, depending on how worse the water quality is, the higher the wastage is going to be. The world is looking at alternatives to RO, reverse osmosis as well. And we hope we will be leading that tech process of what should be the new water filtration technique the world should be adopting. With our partners from Israel and Netherlands, we are rigorously working in our labs on what should be the new water tech. And we hope we should be launching that, you know, probably in 2021 or even earlier if, you know, things go in the right way post the COVID-19 situation.
Vikram, what are the opportunities to work with that wastewater? What could be done with that? Like, what comes to mind is obviously groundwater recharge, right? That with some effective piping, you could channel that into.
Yeah, absolutely. But then, you know, most of the homes are designed in such a way that they reject water in the kitchen. Right? Always goes down the drain. Now, and people don't have that much of motivation because there's an investment which goes in if they have to, put that water ground back to it, but then back to the ground. But then I would always recommend users to how we have the whole sustainability concept coming in, that reduce, recycle, and reuse as much as possible. And of course a reduction in the wastewater is technically seems a little difficult because of the reverse osmosis membrane, but then there's a way. Again, recycling, as you mentioned, is going back, sending that water back to the ground, which is again an expensive affair. For most, if you're in an apartment complex and if you have to do that, it's going to be really, really difficult. But it's kind of easier for individual homes to put it back to the ground if they have a rainwater harvesting system in place. But then the easiest to do is reuse. And I recommend reusing that water, say, when they're washing their utensils, which we do, every home does it every day. Mopping your floors, use that in your kitchen. or in your toilets for flushing, or even you can use that for washing your car. Right? And we saw that how many liters of water people use when they're doing all these activities. And for example, even if you're assuming your wastage is, say, 1:1, and a family of four uses about 15 to 20 liters of drinking water every day. If you see that the wastage of water is 1:1 because of a reverse osmosis system, the wastage what you're generating is just about 20 liters, which is about 3 flushes in your tank, in your home. And probably, we have seen people using about 200 liters of water only while they're washing their utensils. So it's just that if you can reuse that for doing all this small jobs at homes, definitely you will never feel that you're wasting more water. But then you're giving a second life to that same water, which would have otherwise gone just down to the drain and adding up to the burden of the utility. You can just create one more step forward in reusing it.
So it's a lot of behavioral change that you are trying to recommend there. With the same resources that people have, how can they reuse into other aspects of their household?
Agreed, absolutely. And in fact, since you mentioned a behavioral change, there's one thing which I would like to kind of point out or even comment, which we have seen with most of our users, right? That by paying per liter a rupee, people have started reducing wastage in their homes, because every glass of water earlier, before installation of a OSHA purifier in someone's home, people used to fill a glass full of water, drink half of it, and then they used to kind of pour the rest of it into a sink, because there was no monetary value attached to that full glass of water. But then now that they are paying a rupee a liter, which is of course cheaper than having your own purifier at your home, or depending on a water can, etc. What has happened is that people started quantifying water and giving it a price value. That, hey, the 200 ml of glass what I have filled is worth 20 paise, and I've just wasted 10 paise worth of water. So now they started, if you want to drink a glass full, you drink a glass full, or you take a half glass, drink that, and then fill in more. So the whole conservation habit, which you and me have been learning from our school days, somewhere we believe that that's a silver lining what is coming out from our whole OSHA's water purification as a service, that people have started, giving a price tag to the water which they're doing. And globally, most of the industry experts also feel that till you don't price water, people will not value it. So when they are probably brushing their teeth, they've started turning off, because they started realizing, though it is not purified from an OSHA machine, there's X liters of water which is getting wasted. When they're probably washing their cars next time, people have started moving to, using buckets instead of a hose pipe. Their span of taking showers have come down. A lot of people have switched from taking full showers to kind of filling in a bucket. At least that now they have a measurement on how much water they're consuming beyond drinking water at the house. So that behavioral whole aspect of they paying per liter is kind of getting into their day-to-day lives as well, and which we believe is a need of the hour. Last 15 days, we all have been thinking that somebody catches a coronavirus, is certainly going to die. Which means, on the other side, that we all can live without that virus. But then, I think all of us should take this good period of this 3 weeks or furthermore to kind of understand, can we live without water? How are we going to survive if there's no water in our home? How are we going to survive if there's no water to brush your teeth, to make your vegetables, and so on and so forth.
Vikram, that's an interesting analogy and interesting aspect that you mentioned about the behavioral side of things, because I've generally advocated about conserving the water use from RO and use it for other purposes earlier in multiple podcast episodes. So that's a good thing that you put value to water and people are generally aware of what they use it for and maybe conserve it a lot. Now, moving back to the policy angle in India, you did mention the National Green Tribunal's upcoming policy initiatives on RO purifiers. So what do you think is going to be the impact on businesses like yours? Why do they see a need to have a policy for RO purifiers in general? And what do you think is going to be the impact for businesses like yours?
One clear reason why the National Green Tribunal wants a ban on reverse osmosis membranes where water quality is fairly good or below a certain TDS level is again water conservation. We want to have more water being available and not burdening the water utilities with treating that excess wastage which is coming. But what they've also significantly mentioned in the policy which has come, most of the companies are still not prepared for it. There was a Supreme Court judgment as well post that, asking the Ministry of Environment and Forest to kind of implement the rules where they want to track every purifier's function. They want to know if a purifier is installed. You know, it's kind of putting the whole idea of blockchain into it. They want to know who's using that purifier in which home, what is the water quality of their home, what is the output water quality coming out from the machine. They also want to track at what point the filter membranes are replaced and what is the lifeline of every membrane which is being used as a standard by most of the companies. So they want to put more of, as we said, that, you know, if you don't measure anything and if you don't monitor anything, you can't manage it better. So to manage the water resources of our country better, we need to measure what's happening to the membranes, to the machines, to the water quality, and monitor all of it. And they want to put they have asked the water purifier companies, whether it is small water purifiers at home or the larger systems in industries, to maintain a log sheet of when the membrane is replaced, what is the water quality over a period of time which is changing in the machine. And to our good effect, or to our advantage, OSHO has been doing this since day one. All this what Supreme Court or the National Green Tribunal today wants to be implemented by the industry, OSHO is already leading this from day one. And certainly, you know, if the rule gets implemented, I don't think we have to run helter shelter. What we have done is a perfect intersection of bringing sustainability and using technology to the max.
So in addition to the NGT and Supreme Court directives and recommendations, what mass scale policies would you like to see, you know, if you had a wish list that could essentially incentivize the mass public to make your solution their default choice?
Well, I don't know. I mean, see, there's one thing that which I always feel is that I don't want to create a monopoly in the industry, but then I'll be happy if the industry adopts a model like this of a pay-per-use with the water quality being tracked, the performance of the machine being monitored, and hence managing our resources in a better way, right? So I want the whole industry to kind of move into that direction so that all of us put together can serve the entire population of India and subsequently global. Certainly, from a policy angle, there's a lot government has done, but then I believe if we can do something more beyond all this, that if we can set up a way where we can share the data. Since I'm monitoring the water quality at home, right, we also are looking at the TDS to begin with from our current systems. And we also know the amount, the water source coming at the home, whether it is utility, whether it is underground, or whether it is the tankers which are there. Now, with mapping all this water quality information, we want to share the data with government so that they can take proactive action. That if we know that there's a particular user who is using water more from their underground sources, and that water quality is not good, which means that, you know, if government can intervene and get that underground water shut and then give them the water connection as needed to the home, so on and so forth. But from a larger policy angle, I believe the digital transformation has helped a lot of industries, whether it is the manufacturing units, with they moving from a 3.0 to 4.0 and probably to a 5.0 as well, the telecom industry, the finance industry, and lot of other industries, even the e-commerce, right? The way we buy and sell products today has changed because of the e-commerce coming into play. But sadly, I believe that digitization in water is yet to happen. If I have to call it, we are still at water 1.0, and certainly if we all have to survive a good number of years, a good life, you know, make it more merry for the next generation. We should ramp up from a water 1.0 to straight away jump up to a water 5.0 or something, where the water quality across the country is monitored. But if we can have systems which can track when an industry is releasing polluted water straight into a canal or a river, we should have mechanisms to monitor that as well. You know, when we are excessively using water beyond a certain cap, say for a particular household, that should be kind of controlled. That, you know, people are just wasting water, and one way to do control them is, you know, kind of either incentivize them for saving more water or penalize them for using excess water, because though they're paying for the water they're consuming at the home, there's a bigger cost which the nation has to pay for an excessive usage of water. And I believe that should be stopped. And if I have to just go off from drinking water, there's a policy change which I believe should be coming or should come in water and agriculture as well. We all are worried about the cleanness, you know, or the contamination in water when we are consuming it at homes. But then if you see, due to excessive usage of insecticides, pesticides, fertilizers in agriculture, there's a lot amount of contamination which has happened to the water at an agricultural site. Most of them use borewells, pump water from underground, and that gets into our food chain. How do we stop it? If that is not controlled in the future to come, certainly most of the diseases which we get today are, which are 99% waterborne, but then in future they will also be born from the food which we are eating, because the contaminated water is entering that cucumber which you are eating, that's entering into that tomato which you are consuming. So, you know, if the government wants to do a 360 degree approach, they should be looking at the agriculture side as well, because globally, if you see the amount of fresh water consumed or the underwater consumed, close to 80% of that is meant or consumed by the agriculture industry, and not much has been done except for giving subsidies on their electrical bills where pump sets are used, and probably digging more borewells whenever they need.
That's a very novel suggestion, Vikram. I mean, as government plans to have more policies in this, I'm sure they would look at it from a holistic picture and have all these policies in place. So on a final note, as you run your business, what are your plans for expansion and how do you plan to expand? I know you're in a few cities at this point in India, and how do you plan to scale it up?
Of course, certainly every company wants to grow, and you know they would want to be the leading person in the industry they operate. But then the way we have designed that, our vision is very simple. We want to inspire the world with water. Eliminate single-use filter membrane housings, eliminate the plastic bottles, and provide everyone with an access to clean drinking water, you know, whether they are at home or whether they are at office or they are at home. Now, having all this done, it took us a good amount of time to design solutions, get the market acceptance. Today, we are operating in the city of Bangalore throughout, and we have started our services in a limited area in Chennai and Hyderabad as well. We certainly look at that the generation after us, you know, doesn't deserve to inherit the trash we are creating. So the ways that if we can deliver clean water that the nature wanted to give it to us is something which we want to take it forward, and we welcome the industry to come into a arena like this, to come into a business model like this, so that all of us, you know, have our own strengths. We have our own strengths on few regions where we are operating today. But then the India is too large to kind of catered by one company. And if I have to, I have zero knowledge about the northeastern part of our country, a couple of regions in the north as well. So if the industry comes together to make it a win-win for all, I think it will be a good thing to happen, because on our own, it's going to be an Herculean task to serve the entire country. At the same time, if we get opportunities as we are speaking, we are expecting some good prospects from a few investors who are willing to come on board. And with this support, we're looking to get into about 10 million households in the next 3 to 5 years.
Vikram, Osho Water story is definitely very inspiring. I think it sets a very good model and template for future sustainability leaders as well, in whatever realm they get into. It's very evident that your solution is accessible, easy to implement, and economical. And I think that's the roadmap to make sustainable solutions the default choice. So it's great to have you in the Mafia as well. One last point, since we have this opportunity, I'd like to ask you to zoom out a little bit and go beyond the household. A lot of people believe that we have a freshwater crisis in the country. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have any suggestions for what can be done about it on a micro level?
As I said, we have enough water around us. Our problem is water management. If we are able to manage it better, we will have enough water for everyone and for the next generations as well. And the only way I see to manage it better is to measure and monitor. So these three M's, if they come on one platform, I think the whole issue about water crisis can be resolved.
Vikram, thank you. Thank you very much for taking time and joining us on this podcast and sharing the story of Osho Water. I'm sure with clear intent and good product that offers differential value, I'm sure there'll be a lot of uptakes for this in the coming years, and wishing you a successful year ahead and a decade ahead. So thank you again.
Thank you, Girish and Anirudh. And I have one last comment that, I always believe is that bachega jal to rahega kar. So if there's enough water, only then we have enough life in our life.
That's a good one.
I'm sure, Vikram, you'll have to translate it to all listeners.
Yes, so I request all the users to conserve water, because if there is water today, only then we have a tomorrow. And if you conserve water, only then my business can thrive. If you conserve water, only then your lives can thrive. So if you want me to thrive, Osho to thrive, and you and your family and your businesses to flourish, you should be conserving water either by turning off the tap when you're brushing your teeth, take shorter showers if you're used to taking standing showers, or use a bucket as an alternate. Use a hose pipe, use a bucket rather than a hose pipe when washing your car, and then try to give a second life to water so that, you can lead your life better.
Well, I hope the origins and the story of Osho Water was of interest to you. If you want to find out more, visit oshowater.online. Again, the links will be in the show notes section of the podcast, so make sure you check that if you want to know more. The service of Osho Water is currently being offered only in a few Indian cities, but if you want to explore setting up similar business model in your city or country, Vikram will be happy to help you, so feel free to get in touch with Vikram if you want to know more. And I also hope you like the idea of having a second host on the show. Thanks to Anirudh Gupta from the Sustainability Mafia for joining me in the conversation today. If you have any feedback or opinion after listening to this, do drop a message. I'm just an email away. missionchunia@gmail.com is the ID. You can also tag me on a social media post on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. The handle is @missionchunia. And again, stay home, stay safe. And while you are indoors during these days, follow the stories on the Mission Chunia channel. If you have been following the Mission Chunia podcast for quite some time, please share the idea and the podcast to 3 people in your network immediately after listening to this. And please use this time also to write a review for the show on Apple Podcast or any platform that you listen to it on. It helps in getting more people to join the Mission Chunia movement. So with that, signing off, this is Girish Shivakumar, and thank you for listening.
The
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.